In this video, we'll talk more specifically about the importance of hydration and exercise in thriving mama mode and help you understand healthy caffeine and alcohol intake. And we'll wrap up the video with guidelines on working with professionals to increase your self-care and well-being. Starting general, let's focus on hydration. Food is energy and so is water. Staying hydrated is an essential part of thriving. Many of us have heard how important it is to drink 8 glasses of water a day. While there is no scientific research proving the right amount to drink, what we do know is drinking water throughout the day and eating fruits and vegetables with water content has many health benefits to help our bodies run efficiently. During the day, we lose fluid through our skin, breathing, sweat, and using the restroom. When your body needs fluids, it sends messages to your brain signaling thirst. However, sometimes we misinterpret thirst for hunger. Instead of drinking a glass of water, we may reach for something to eat instead of drink. Pay attention to your body cues and be sure you're drinking enough fluids. Important to note, alcohol will not be hydrating and can actually increase dehydration. When our water intake does not equal what we excrete, dehydration can happen. Symptoms of mild to moderate dehydration include thirst, dry mouth not related to medication side effects, urine that is dark yellow, infrequent use of the restroom, headache, and muscle ache and cramps. Symptoms of severe dehydration include dry skin, very dark yellow urine, rapid heart rate, rapid breathing, lack of energy, concentration, and feeling dizzy. I want you to set a goal of being aware and mindful of drinking enough fluids. Carry a reusable water bottle with you and set goals to drink water throughout the day and notice the improvements you see. I have to say, years ago, I made a commitment to drink water throughout the day. Since then, my skin has never looked so great, and I feel more energetic when I'm hydrated. Water is the only thing I drink, with the exception of 2 cups of coffee in the morning, an occasional cup of tea, and a few glasses of wine during the week. Okay, let's shift gears and talk about caffeine for a minute. Caffeine is readily available in many products, such as soda, tea, coffee, and even some ice cream and desserts. Caffeine is in chocolate, energy drinks, and some flavored waters enhanced with vitamins, which is why it's so important to read labels. Caffeine is a stimulant, and on a physiological level, stimulants will impact your body by increasing energy and alertness, heart rate, and blood pressure. Caffeine can also stimulate your digestive system, sometimes too much, with abdominal distress and diarrhea. For a healthy adult, the limit of caffeine intake is between 300 and 400 milligrams of caffeine per day. If you're a coffee lover, coffee has a wide range of caffeine depending on if you make it at home or head to your favorite coffee shop. For example, 12 ounces of coffee brewed at home can have 50 to 70 milligrams of caffeine, whereas 12 ounces of brew drip Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts coffee can have an estimated 235 milligrams of caffeine. That's almost triple the amount. And keep in mind, decaffeinated doesn't mean caffeine-free. Decaffeinated coffee at your favorite coffee shops can have a range of 10 to 25 milligrams of caffeine. Maybe coffee isn't your thing, but tea is. Teas do have less caffeine than coffee. For example, 8 ounces of black tea has 47 milligrams of caffeine, 8 ounces of green tea has 29 milligrams, and 8 ounces of decaf has 5 milligrams. So if you're looking for a true caffeine-free tea, herbal brewed tea may be your best choice because herbal teas have no caffeine. Did you know that soft drinks and soda can have as much caffeine as coffee? On average, a 12-ounce can of cola can have up to 46 milligrams of caffeine. And 12 ounces of Mountain Dew can have up to 54 milligrams of caffeine. Even orange drinks and some root beer have caffeine up to 40 milligrams. The first time I learned root beer had caffeine was when I was visiting my parents in the summer. The twins were 5 and they had root beer floats, which is root beer with a scoop of vanilla ice cream. The girls started acting super energetic, talking really fast, and ran around nonstop. At first, I thought it was the excitement of being away and having a treat midday, but something didn't add up. That's when I read the label and saw the 12-ounce can of root beer they shared contained caffeine. I have never made that mistake again. As a side note, children metabolize caffeine differently than adults and are much more sensitive to the effects of it. Finally, no surprise, energy drinks have some of the highest amounts of caffeine in a serving, depending on the size and concentration. Some 2-ounce energy drinks have up to 200 milligrams of caffeine, and a 16-ounce energy drink can have up to 350 milligrams of caffeine. You need to know how much caffeine you consume in a day. If you're experiencing symptoms of anxiety or have trouble sleeping, you have to monitor and know how much caffeine you take in any given day. When I first meet with a client, especially clients who are experiencing anxiety, one of the first questions I ask is, how much caffeine do you consume in a day? I ask this because caffeine intake affects our health and well-being, specifically our sleep, our energy, and our mental health. If someone is anxious, adding in caffeine could intensify and worsen the anxiety. And did you know caffeine throughout the day and into the late afternoon can have a negative impact by decreasing the quality of your sleep? Remember, caffeine is a stimulant and it can give us a boost of energy in the moment, but often there's an energy crash after. Keeping your daily caffeine intake in the recommended range of 300 to 400 milligrams a day is one way to create a thriving mama mode by taking care of your physical health. Okay, let's talk a few minutes about alcohol. Alcohol has become more prevalent in mom culture. No longer is alcohol reserved for a night out or a get-together. Alcohol is socially acceptable to be used any time of day, even when parents are responsible for children. There's even alcohol-themed merchandise specifically targeting moms with products like wine glasses, t-shirts, and alcohol paired with cutesy sayings like "Mommy's time out," or "Kids are the reason I drink," or alcohol being called "Mommy juice." In my 20-plus years of experience, I've heard in the therapy hour and seen how alcohol can be at playdates, at the playground, and after school when kids are playing outside or during sporting events, games, and practices. And because of the work I do, I've heard over and over again how the misuse of alcohol can lead to relationship issues, more fights with those you care about, losing a filter when drinking and saying something regrettable, and in the extreme, causing harm to someone from drinking and driving. Perhaps you think this sounds judgmental, but I really want you to understand the work I do gives me a lens into what can happen when alcohol is abused or when someone is alcohol dependent. I feel passionately about alcohol, how it is used, and the impact it has on children and parents. There are many reasons why alcohol is consumed: for enjoyment, for taste, to celebrate, to relax and unwind at the end of the day, and to avoid and cope with stress. I want you to think about your alcohol use and how it is impacting your health and well-being. From a psychologist's perspective, problematic alcohol use happens when alcohol is used to escape, numb, or cope with stress, feelings, and situations, or when a person exceeds the recommended guidelines of alcohol in a given week, or when a person has physical and emotional cravings for alcohol, and when a person develops tolerance, which is when more alcohol is consumed to achieve the needed effects, and when there are negative consequences because of use, such as problems in a relationship, problems at work and at home, and caring for your family, and legal issues such as drinking and driving or disorderly conduct. I think what's most helpful is to look at the facts. Let's start with this. Do you know what a serving size of alcohol is? Information from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism indicates the following serving sizes. One serving of beer equals 12 ounces of fluid. One serving of malt liquor equals 9 ounces of fluid. One serving of wine equals 5 ounces. One serving of distilled liquor equals 1.5 ounces. The NIAAA's definition of binge drinking for women is four or more alcoholic drinks for females on the same occasion. And the definition of problematic drinking for women is consuming more than seven drinks of alcohol in a given week. And this means seven serving sizes. In the workbook, there are questions and information to help you learn more about your alcohol use and determine what you may need to consider if you have concerns about your alcohol use. Okay, thank you for listening to me on that one. I know this is a sensitive topic, but it's so important. I see nothing wrong with enjoying a glass of wine or beer. And when you're in thriving mama mode, being aware of why and when you consume alcohol is what I want you to focus on. Okay, let's move on to exercise. There are many benefits to exercise. Having an exercise routine can increase physical health and well-being and help manage stress and enhance mental well-being. Some of the benefits of exercise include increased energy, decreasing stress by creating a relaxation response, less irritability, decreasing risk and slowing down and preventing disease, such as heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, and strengthening muscles and preventing the loss of muscle through the aging process. Exercise also helps improve sleep and can boost sex drive. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services recommends 30 minutes of physical activity for adults and 60 minutes for children at least 5 days a week, which adds up to 150 minutes of exercise for adults. Other physical recommendations include strength training 2 times a week and making sure to work on your flexibility by stretching. Committing to an exercise plan will be beneficial not only for your physical health, but also your emotional, cognitive, and mental health and well-being. As moms, making time for exercise can be challenging. I want to encourage you to be creative and find small pockets of time to exercise. For example, take your child for a walk in the stroller. Put an app on your phone for strength training or yoga and find 10 minutes a day to make it happen. Many moms I know walk during their lunch hour as a creative way to get some extra exercise in. I also hear a lot in the therapy hour how clients wait to feel motivated to exercise. Here's something to keep in mind. Motivation follows behavior change. Meaning, the Nike marketing line, "Just do it," is so very true. Once we engage in a behavior, we feel motivated after to continue it. Listen to any active person and they will say, "I don't give myself an option not to exercise because I like the way it makes me feel when I'm done." Okay, the final topic in this video is medical exams and checkups. I shared in the self-care video earlier in this course a statement from the World Health Organization on self-care, which highlights how taking care of ourselves can be done independently or with the support of a professional. There are so many ways you can take care of your body. As we've discussed, there are times when we need to partner with a professional to improve our well-being. Having regular checkups with medical professionals is an important self-care behavior. Let's start with checkups with your primary care doctor. How often should an adult see their primary care doctor? The answer may seem vague, as often as you need to, based on your medical history, diagnosis, and health concerns. When it comes to medicine and taking care of your body, there is no one-size-fits-all answer. Medicine and physical health are highly individualized. But having regular appointments with your primary care physician creates a relationship where the physician can support, treat, and counsel you based on your health history, life issues, and stresses across the lifespan. For some, that may mean annual visits to their primary care doctor, and others may need to go more often. In my work, I coordinate with primary care physicians for a variety of reasons. One, my expertise is in mental health and well-being. And while I have a doctorate in psychology and training in biology, pharmacology, and neurobiology, I'm not a physician, and I don't prescribe medicine or have a medical degree. But what I can do is screen for medical concerns and talk to clients in depth about mental health and well-being. For example, here's a scenario that happens often. I'm working with the client, and it's apparent they're a good candidate for medication in addition to talk therapy to address some of the symptoms and concerns they have. The first place I start is with their primary care physician. I consult with their doctor and determine if they have a presenting health issue or an underlying undiagnosed medical issue. I encourage clients to be screened for thyroid issues, iron deficiencies, and vitamin D deficiencies. The reason is this: deficiencies in iron and vitamin D can present symptomatically as depression or fatigue or low motivation. And thyroid issues are common with many women, which, when out of balance, can mimic symptoms of anxiety and depression. Once clients are medically evaluated, we can move forward with a plan to address the issues and concerns. So know your health history. Be sure to get your annual screenings. It is so important in thriving mama mode. And here's something I want you to consider. Would you ever skip your child's pediatric appointment? Chances are you wouldn't. So please make yourself a top priority as you do for your child. Okay, moving on to some specialists, such as OBGYNs, there are some guidelines about how often you should go. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists recommends women to have annual examinations and checkups. And the reason for annual checkups include an opportunity to discuss birth control, a general health screening, depression screening, sexually transmitted infectious disease screening, and addressing concerns or issues related to sex, hormonal changes, menstrual cycle, and preconception counseling and vaccinations. Another important specialist is the dentist. Regarding dental visits, the American Dental Association's stance is that there's no one-size-fits-all dental treatment. Some may visit the dentist twice a year for cleaning and checkups, while others may need to go more often, depending on the issues and the diagnosis. Routine visits to the dentist will not only help prevent specific issues, but can also help identify problems and concerns to a trained dental provider. And finally, other medical professionals to help facilitate taking care of yourself include working with a nutritionist, having annual eye exams, and meeting with any specialist for medical conditions you have, such as an endocrinologist, neurologist, or psychiatrist. I know this is a lot of information to take in, and while you may feel overwhelmed with it, I want to encourage you to take a deep breath. You don't have to have all of this figured out today. But what I do want you to start thinking about and be sure to do is to complete the exercises in the workbook, which is going to help you develop a thriving mama mode plan to jump in and start taking care of your well-being. The next video is all about taking care of your mind, where you will learn how thoughts impact so much of how we show up in the world and how to add in activities that are good for your mental health and well-being.